So, what's it like? 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. The vaccine is here. The first shots were given in Hartford yesterday. But the real first shots, if you think about it, were the shots that were given during the trial.
Yes.
And we have someone who was in the trial on the phone now. In fact, he's familiar with the show.
Oh.
Are you drinking right now?
It's an after effect.
I was having a sip of water.
Okay, good, cool.
You can hear me before we got on.
I'm like, he's percolating. Oh, my God.
That's what I thought. I hear a sound, and I'm like, uh-oh.
That sounds like a side effect. Yeah, gulping.
Yikes. Well, good to be with you guys.
Nice with you, sir. Batalvi?
Yes, sir, Batalvi.
Yes, sir.
Took the COVID-19 vaccine in the trial. Mm-hmm. You're going to school in Boston, right?
Yep, I graduated actually from Suffolk University, so now I'm working in Boston.
Ah,
great. And then at some point you were in Norwalk and you listened to the show then?
I did, yeah. I used to work in Westchester County in White Plains, so sometimes when things got a little boring there, we would drive to the coast of Connecticut, just hang out, use people's Wi-Fi beside the beach. Do work there. Norwalk was a good place to do it.
There you go.
Well, I think the question that everyone has right now for you, we all know what it's like to get a needle, but were there any after effects?
Yeah, there were. I had pretty limited side effects to the first dose because, there are two doses. With the Moderna vaccine, the one I took, it was 4 weeks apart. I think with the Pfizer, it's 3 weeks. It was pretty unremarkable, honestly. I had a little bit of stiffness, a little bit of muscle soreness in my left arm after the shot. It sort of felt like getting punched in the arm, honestly. It feels like a flu shot. I don't know if you guys have ever had a minor side effects to the flu shot. Second dose, I think things got a little bit more difficult. I ended up running a low-grade fever. I had chills, muscle aches, headache, things associated with that. So I was out for the good part of the day until I ended up calling the study doctors, took some painkillers, and I felt up and ready to go by the next morning, really.
These were all expected?
They were. I mean, I didn't really, I wasn't super happy about them, so I ended up calling the study doctors, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not feeling the best. What do you guys recommend? And they said, don't be alarmed. It's part of the regular profile of side effects that you can experience. Obviously, not everybody experiences
them. Seems like they should have told you that before you left, no?
Well, surprise.
They did, but I you still get kind of worried.
Right.
So that's why I just called them. I felt like I was getting, I was feeling down, like maybe I was getting sick. But just given the fact that the sort of symptoms came on so quickly, and then it was so sudden, and then it disappeared so quickly, it really wasn't me getting sick at all.
How long ago did you get the shot, the first shot?
The first shot was mid-October. It was October 15th.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the second dose was November 12th.
It's months after this thing was peaking out.
Yep.
That's ballsy.
Yes, it is.
So good for you.
I appreciate that.
You people step forward and said, I'll do it.
I'll take the risk
to save the world.
Humanity.
So, good for you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how did you get involved?
I appreciate that. I originally just applied in around July. I applied on the NIH's website. The National Institutes of Health was running just this registry. They were looking for recruiting participants. And so I ended up putting my name down. And then I got a call. I didn't think I was going to get picked. There's just so much interest in people wanting to participate, but I ended up getting picked later on in September. And then once you go through the whole process, it takes a little bit of time, but mid-October I had the first dose.
The process, that's the screener, right? What is the process?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so what ends up happening is you end up going in, you go through a whole bunch of screenings. Let me try and think. I mean, it's
they ask you a lot of questions, right?
Like, what's your name?
They do. I mean, they do. They ask you, hey, like, what medication are you on? Do you have allergies to anything? What's your medical history? They go through physicals. They go through a blood draw. They go through one of the COVID tests, a couple of other tests, and then just check your vitals and stuff like that.
Okay, so you're perfectly healthy. They weren't like experimenting on someone with asthma or with a pre-existing condition or an at-risk group, right? You're perfect. You're a 24-year-old guy in great condition.
Yeah.
right?
I am. Thankfully, nothing at all. No medication, no medical history, really. But I do want to say that it isn't the case that in the phase 3 trial, they aren't experimenting a little bit. Because in the phase 1 and 2 trials, they'd like to just give it to healthy folks. But by the phase 3 trial, because it's the last shot, you know, before it's given out to the general public, they actually will give it to people who are, you know, old, sick, people who have pre-existing conditions, immunocompromised, stuff like that. I just didn't happen to have any of those, but there are folks who were enrolled in the phase 3 trial that had those issues.
I'm sorry, did you say it already? Which phase were you in?
I was in phase 3, so I was in the last phase.
You were, phase 3 was October?
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so I was actually one of the last people enrolled. And so what they were looking for before they released this was at least 2 months of safety data. Because, you know, what we know from past vaccines is any real adverse side effects, the serious ones, they always end up showing up within the first 2 months. Then, you know, when you look at that on balance with COVID, I mean, it's like that's we know it's killing people. I mean, it's 300,000 people dead. Millions hospitalized, needless to say, around how many more around the world. And then we have all this, you know, people are suffering. I mean, that's not just lives, it's livelihood. So to me, it's like a risk. It's a risk reward assessment. You know, it's like that finding that balance. And thankfully, we can say with this vaccine, I mean, we should just be so incredibly grateful. It's crazy to think about the fact that
it's mind-boggling.
We were shooting for 60%, but we've got like almost 100%. It's like 95%.
So fast.
And so fast. Yeah. And it's true, we don't know how long immunity lasts, but I think all indications right now are suggesting it's pretty solid.
Yes, Sir Batalvi's on. He was in phase 3 of the trials for the coronavirus vaccine. How much paperwork did you have to fill out saying if anything happens, they're not responsible?
22 pages of it, actually.
22 pages.
A lot of pages.
Did you read all of it? Because, you know, when Facebook or Apple, I don't read it. I just say, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, what do I initial right here? Yeah.
I know. But I, you know, I felt a little bit different. I felt like it was a kind of different deal. So I did read it. And, yeah, so I actually did go through it. And, you know, it said at the time, because remember, when I signed up, we didn't have any of that safety and efficacy data we do right now. So when I ended up signing up, the profile of side effects was really anything. I mean, it was anything from nothing at all the way to death. So right. We weren't expecting obviously really bad side effects because there were participants in the phase 1 and 2 trials. But when I ended up signing up, I read through the consent form. I mean, I discussed the issue with the doctors pretty frankly, and they said, look, we don't know the side effects. That's why people like you are enrolling in this trial, so that we test it on folks so that later on people can take it and know that they're going to be safe.
It's just but hysterical rather... pregnancy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I feel it kicking.
Yeah. Phase 3 feels better, though, than phase 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be the
it
first one.
It does. I mean,
they still survived?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What did your parents say?
I mean, I've never been part of a clinical trial before, but, you know, I don't know if I'd do phase 1.
I've done freelance.
I actually didn't tell my parents, to be totally honest with you, because my mom's kind of a hypochondriac, and I know she would have gotten really stressed, and now that she obviously knows, I'm glad I didn't tell her. But I did tell them after I got the second dose.
What was her reaction?
At that point. She was like, her initial reaction was, you know, what the hell, you're crazy, you know, you're my son, why do you have to do this? You know, it's always like, why are you the one?
Right, let someone else do it.
I'd be like, you're wadding out of me, where's the rest of it?
Right, exactly. But she eventually came to pretty quickly because I think I just had an honest conversation with her, and she knows. I mean, my sister just gave birth recently to newborns, twins, a boy and a girl, and she couldn't be there, you know, for her in the hospital. And it's just like a minor thing if you think about it. But I mean, there are people who are dying.
It's a life moment.
Alone,
yeah,
you know,
we've talked to some people who've lost some very special people. We've lost some very special people.
Yes, we have.
I'm sorry.
No, thank you. But so now what? Are they following up with you? Do you have to go in and get examined? You just report anything out of the ordinary? What's it like now?
It's pretty extensive. I have an app that I use to log pretty much any side effects that might show up. And then I have a weekly call with the study doctors and the nurses. And so they run through like a checklist of issues or talk about anything that's come up. And then they actually monitor me for the next 25 months since the date of the first dose. So it's the better part of 2 years. And they're doing, so I have to go in, you know, I actually have to go in for appointments. They do blood draws and the whole like physical screenings, vitals. And the blood draws are essentially also to check for antibodies, to just make sure that you have high quality antibodies that are going to resist COVID till, you know, sometime.
That's on their dime, right? You're not paying for this stuff?
No, I'm not paying for this stuff. In fact, if anything were to happen to me as part of this study, the healthcare would be covered.
I was going to ask you about that. Insurance. 2 years from now, they find like, oh,
yep.
Hey, look, a second nose.
No.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the tough thing is trying to find out, because the form just said if the symptoms are related, you know, to the vaccine, and it's always hard to make a judgment 2 years down the line about what's related. You know, you get unexplained nosebleeds. Like, is that related? It's always tough, but. And I don't want to alarm anyone. I mean, there are no serious
side effects
to vaccines.
Yeah.
But that being said, I would be covered. In fact, they pay study participants, so they pay you $1,500 over the period of 25 months.
Really?
So it's not lump sum. Yeah, they give you a little charge card. Yeah. It's like a prepaid Visa card type thing. And then every interaction you have with them, like you get a blood draw, you go in for an appointment, you take a call, they'll give you
it's to cover expenses.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Right. And also to incentivize people to stay in the trial, because, you know, if people just drop off and stop answering their questions,
right,
the data is no good. So, you know, they stave off a little $20 later down the road to give to you.
Now that you've had the coronavirus vaccine, you can still carry it. It's like a flu shot, right? Like, you could still give it to someone else. Just if you get it, you won't have the full blown effects that you could if you didn't take the vaccine, correct?
You know, it's a good question, and it's a little bit complicated. And so let me put it like this. I think we know that you actually can't really get it, because when they say that the vaccine is about 95% effective, the 5% that did get the vaccine and ended up contracting COVID didn't contract a severe case of COVID. So that's good. We don't really know necessarily how this immunity works long term. Obviously, for example, look, I mean, if I touched a doorknob that had the coronavirus on it, and then I touch a different doorknob without washing my hands in between, I've just been a transient carrier of coronavirus. It hasn't infected me, but I've moved it from one place to another. So that's why, you know, people like me and people who take the vaccine eventually have to still follow public health guidance. I mean, they have to wash their hands and stuff like that. But for the most part, it seems like this is actually staving off real infection. And that's a really good thing. Eventually, when enough people get this, and I hope they will, what's going to happen is that the rate of transmission, the chain of transmission, is going to break down. So one person might be able to get it, but if the people around them are vaccinated, it's not going to spread.
Gotcha.
And then that's where it just ends.
Right. Yeah. I get that. But you could still give it to grandma, right? I mean, I've gotten the flu shot, and then I have felt symptoms down the line into the season where I thought to myself, you know what? If I didn't get that shot, I'd probably be on my back right now.
Should I have fruitcake?
Which, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing with the flu shot that's so different is that the flu, the adenovirus, has multiple strains. And with the flu shot, they try to make this cocktail with the most popular strain that they expect will crop up that year. So it's kind of a shot in the dark. And that's why it's about 60% effective. But it's tough because, you know, you could have had the cold and, you know, just felt under the weather for a different reason. But yeah, I mean, with the coronavirus, it's not like it's really mutating. It's pretty stable. We know what it looks like. And these vaccines are built off of the spike on the actual virus. And so what that means is that that spike is what the coronavirus uses to enter our cells and then infect them. And that's really
the
mechanism of infection. Right. And so unless that changes, this vaccine is still good to go.
All right. Well, we thank you, and we thank everyone like you who got involved in these trials before knew how it would work out.
Yep.
And
thank you.
Thanks
but
for coming
look,
out.
I want to say at the end of the day, you know, it's not people like me. I'm just a small part of, you know.
Oh, well, we know you didn't invent it.
Right. Yeah. And I just want people to know that, you know, there's people out there like frontline medical workers, you know, people who are working in emergency services. They're exposed every day. And so, yeah, I think we're all part of this complicated public health solution to a pandemic. And I guess I feel grateful that I could play a part. Yeah.
No, it's very cool. Well, thanks for coming on and sharing that with us. A lot of people have questions.
Thank you.
Yasir Batalvi took the COVID-19 vaccine in the trial.
It's like a Chuck Yeager of the shot scene.